Hey gang, are you in a band in Austin? You're looking to make the leap from the band of schmoes to the band of pros? Well, you can start by rehearsing at Space. Space is a state-of-the-art, affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. With 31 spacious rooms, wide gallery-lit corridors, and plenty of parking, they have the space to help you with your creative endeavors. Call them at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com and take the talent train from Schmoesville to Protown with Space. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host,
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Oh, I hope that you guys all had a great Thanksgiving and a great Thanksgiving weekend. I hope that you guys were all busy and doing stuff. I will tell you all about mine in just a minute. Let me tell you who I've got on the show today. I got a great show. Ali Tadros, Brooklyn-based singer-songwriter, returns to the show today. Her new album, Hungry Ghost, comes out this Friday, December 2nd. Go to alitadros.com to find out what you can do. Her single, the first single off the album, Rivers, is already out. You can go find it on Spotify. You can get it on iTunes. However it is you get music, check it out, Rivers. Go to alitadros.com to find out when she's playing. We have a great conversation. She was here like in mid-October for the Dripping Springs Songwriter Festival. And she came over before she left town. And we had a great conversation. We caught up. She was on the show like a year and a half ago or something like that. When she put out her last album, we had a great conversation then when she was here visiting in town. We talk about the Dripping Springs Songwriter Festival. We talk about what's been up with her. We talk about her love of bacon. We talk about a lot of things. I enjoy talking to Ali Tadros, and she's a great artist. And her album, Hungry Ghost, is absolutely fantastic. Drops this Friday, December 2nd. Go to alitadros.com for all you need to know. Okay, we'll be talking to Ali in just a second. Let me tell you what's going on with me. Yes. Okay, so let me tell you about my Thanksgiving weekend. Wednesday, I went to Burney, Texas, played a show with Skyrocket. This place decided to do a show the night before Thanksgiving, kind of have a big like soiree, like a big, hey man, leave your family, come on down. And we did it. It was okay. But we had a blast playing. And it was like a show for a small group of people that really, really enjoyed it. Okay. So that was a lot of fun. We also jammed a lot during soundcheck. We even played Keep It Dark. It turns out that Darren can play that whole bass line. You know that Genesis song, Keep It Dark, off of Abacab? Go check it out. Great song. Down, 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 down. It's a great song. I love it. For some reason, I do. I totally love it. Anyway, so we played that show, had a great time. I drove home that night, got up the next morning, drove to Houston to spend Thanksgiving with my family, rode down with my friend Jessica, dropped her off at a gas station where she took an Uber to go meet her family, and I went off to meet mine. I was very tired. I slept about 3 hours on a Wednesday night. And I was real tired. So I go to Thanksgiving, hang out, family's all hanging out. I knew there wasn't going to be a lot of political upheaval. So everyone was doing all right. And I was just tired and out of it. I felt like I was in a fog. Then I had some cocktails, maybe even a little bit foggier and just a little more droopy and kind of like slow. So I was slow the whole time. I ate some food. Then I took a little nap, went over to my cousin Eric's house afterwards. Hung out with my cousin Emily and cousin Eric, Tessa, great time. Next day, got up, went for a long walk through the woodlands, went by my old junior high. That was so fun. And for some reason, I realized that the best time of my life was eighth grade. And so I just stood in front of this junior high, kind of just longing for that feeling. You know what I mean? Like, I can get just one hit of the feeling of being in eighth grade. When I felt like the world was just open and everything was possible and beautiful. So I went down, hung out with my friend Chris, who was my best friend in eighth grade, one of my best friends in eighth grade. We went down there and hung out with him and his kids and his family, had breakfast with my aunt and uncle. It was a great time. Then, check this out. Skyrocket played at Fitzgerald's, which I played for the very first time July 18th, 1988. Okay, then in 1989, they became, they started a management company. The Club Fitzgeralds in Houston started a management company, and they managed my band, Panjandrum. Anyway, I've always had a special love for that place. A lot of first things happened for me there, you know, like headlining, having all these shows, seeing a line of people to see your band, which is all very exciting, and like things that you're like, oh my God, like, can I just get another hit of that? That was great. So I go to Fitzgeralds, and when I load in and walk in for the first time for load in and sound check, it smells just like Fitzgerald's at soundcheck. It was so great. It felt amazing. And I was walking around, felt all these great feelings, and we had a great show, man. A lot of people turned out. The crowd was great. We had a really fun show. It was real loud, and I didn't wear earplugs the whole time, which I kind of paid for that night. Walked off stage and found out that Fidel Castro had died. Wow, what a weird thing, right? Being Cuban all these years, all of a sudden Fidel Castro is actually dead. This specter of a man that I've never known and has only been the person that ran my family out of their country, he died. So that was kind of a weird feeling. Then I went and stayed at my grandma's house that night, came back to Austin. Great time, great long weekend. Stayed with my dogs last night. That was a great time. I love staying with my dogs. We all cuddled almost all night. The dogs were both in the bed. One of them stayed in the whole time. The other one took a break in the middle. Went and got a space, slept on his little bed, and then came back to the bed to sleep and cuddle. Great time. Anyway, great, great Thanksgiving weekend. Fun time at Fitzgerald's, man. That was a magical time. You know, got to say hi to Sarah Fitzgerald, the owner. I didn't realize she still owned it, but she's still there. It was nice to see her. It was great to catch up with her. And great to play on that stage. Anyway, I hope that you had a great Thanksgiving with your family and you did everything that you possibly could. I hope that you guys enjoyed my conversation that came out on Friday with the great David Halley. Man, what a great artist that guy is. Amazing. You know who else is a great artist? Brooklyn-based singer-songwriter Ali Tadros with her album Hungry Ghost coming out this Friday, December 2nd. You can pick up her single, Rivers, available now. Go to Spotify, go to iTunes, and go to AliTadros.com to find out all you need to know. And enjoy our conversation. She's a great person. I hope that you guys all have a great week. Everyone's probably like sluggishly getting back to work and getting back into the grind after the weekend and after the long holiday. Now it's time to start Christmas shopping. It's actually Cyber Monday right now, and I'm going to go do a little bit, see what I can do, see what I can find. All right. Enjoy my conversation with Ali Tadros. She's a fantastic person, and I hope you have a great week. Let's get down.
I mean, I might have. Okay. Fucking insecure, numb, and empty. Wow.
So I just want you to know that I am fine. Okay. I'm fucking insecure, numb, and empty. I've got the three things going for me.
Subtle as a hammer.
You know, I was feeling that way this morning. I was thinking to myself. I was like, I feel a little like... Also, I've had real bad allergies for like a week and a half. Mm-hmm. And when your head's kind of cloudy, you do start getting a little crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're hypersensitive to any. Well, your thinking is clouded.
Yeah. Yeah. Today is the first day that I've woken up that I feel actually really good. Back to my old self.
Okay. Yeah. I do not miss that about living here.
No. No. You're in New York now still?
Still in Brooklyn. Yeah. So I just deal with all the other things that, you know, you don't deal with in Austin.
What do you deal with in Brooklyn?
There's like perpetual...
Mustaches.
It's like hipster or Hasidic Jew is the game. You never know which they are walking down the street in my neighborhood. Because they wear the exact same thing. It's either their, what is that band? The one with the hey-ho song.
Oh, yeah, the Lumineers.
Lumineers. It's either like a member of the Lumineers or a Hasidic Jew.
That's... I had a thing a few years ago during South by Southwest where I thought I wanted to have a game show called Homeless or Hipster.
Yep, that is a variation.
Because you can't really tell sometimes
what the difference is. Nope, there's it is
No, that guy's either really cool and wearing something that he found in the trash, or he was very cold and found something to wear in the trash.
As long as it's unattractive, I think that's the rule. Like, anything that makes you look like you just fell out of a 90s sitcom. Actually, Brooklyn's, the things that I deal with are all, like, they all become charming and not, like, air quotes charming. Like,
right, sure.
Like, so, you know, my neighborhood's West Indian. There's always, like, a Jamaican Justin Bieber remix playing at the bodega downstairs, like, perpetually on loop all the time. At least, but not in the winters, because they don't spend time outside. It's freezing. Okay. But, yeah, I like it. It makes me feel like I'm like, roughing it. I'm not really roughing it, though.
Yeah. And so you came down here to do release shows? And
yeah.
And you're selling the record at the shows?
I have been selling the record. The record does not...
Did you bring me one?
I emailed you the tracks.
You did email me, but a physical one.
I sold out of them.
Oh, you did?
I have vinyl if you want vinyl.
Yeah, I love vinyl.
Okay. Do you have a record? You do have a record player. I will totally give you a record then. But no, I sold out of the CDs at the shows. So we did some Texas shows.
That's fantastic, though.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
It's great.
You went to Laredo?
I went to Laredo, mostly to eat tacos, but also to see my family and play a show down there.
Yeah.
And we did Dallas, Houston. There was one other. Oh, Austin. We did Austin. And they ended up being like pre-release hometown shows because the record won't be out until December 2nd officially.
Right.
And then I did the Dripping Springs Songwriter Festival because I get to see my friends and hang out.
Yeah, I saw you had a photo with Tom Meaney. He was just on. I like that guy.
Yeah, Tom is wonderful. There's a record that Tom and I wrote together. There's a record. There's a track that Tom and I wrote together on the record, too.
Okay, good. Which one is it?
Higher Than the Moon.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so this album, Hungry Ghost, is gorgeous.
Thank you.
You did a really great job.
Thanks.
And I was thinking when I was like, well, you just played at the Dripping Springs. How did you do those shows? Like, did you play with the band?
The tour was with a band. Yeah. Okay. And Dripping Springs were all solo in the rounds, like Nashville style.
Okay, because there's some stuff on the album that just doesn't fit the person sitting in a chair singing a song with a guitar.
Super does not.
Most, like, Your Escape.
Yeah.
That's like a... I don't know, what is that even called? I mean, it's like a sexy, naughty dance track or something. Like a slow jam, almost.
I really hope that we can make that into its own genre. yeah, it's got, what would you categorize Portishead as? Because that's like
the
Massive
greatest
Attack,
band I ever saw live.
Basically, right. So I was like, if we can get it anywhere within the stratosphere of will be happy. And there's a lot of electronic elements in that too.
When you write a song like that, how did you write that? On acoustic guitar?
On acoustic guitar. Okay. It sounds very different on acoustic guitar. Same chord progression, but we got into the studio and I tried recording it as a single before and it just flatlined. It came across as like really dated and weird. So,
it's funny because Portishead is like from the 90s.
But it's not dated.
It's still fresh.
Exactly. Yeah, because I think it's really authentic.
Yeah.
And so when I went to the studio, I just told the producer, like, we need to tear this apart and we got to do something weird with it because it's not working.
Who was your producer?
I worked with a guy named Kevin Salem.
Okay.
He is out of Woodstock. He's worked with, like, Mike Doty, Rachel Yamagata, Yola Tango, and a bunch of other great artists up in New York. So
You went up to Woodstock to do it?
Yep.
That's
cool. We had a proper studio for 3 days as a four-piece. Kevin also plays lead guitar. And we tracked everything live. It was like 14 tracks. And then after we did
There's a lot of songs on it.
It was a lot. Yeah. We ended up putting 12 songs on the record. And then one is an audio track. Or a voice recording, I guess. And then
your dad's?
Yeah, the voice message from my dad that we snuck on there. And then after we did the tracking, basically every week I drove up to Woodstock in Kevin's home studio. We did all the overdubs, all the arrangements, and added the extra stuff. So it was a lot of fun. I think from the last time I was here, between then and now, my entire life has been that record. So it was almost exactly a year from the time we started to releasing it.
How autobiographical is the record?
It's autobiographical.
It is?
Yeah.
What kind of scandal was going on with Your Escape? I actually listened to that song like 4 times. So I was like, Ali Tadros is scandalous. What is going on? It sounds so like affair-y.
That is actually, you know, I was like, there's got to be, there's something on there. Because I remember, I was like, not everything's about me this time. that one was not autobiographical.
That's a good way out of it. Oh, no, everything is autobiographical, except for the super scandalous one.
I was having a conversation with someone who was leading a bit of a double life. And yeah. He said in passing, you know, like, I do want to get married. I want to settle down. But I don't want someone for forever. I want someone for right now.
Yeah, that's a good line.
And I was like, oh, I gotta go home and write that down and turn it into a song. So it turned into, you know, I don't remember what it is. Like, I'm not looking for forever and you're looking like today. But like, I definitely, like, through the exploration of this record, wanted to get more honest. And there are parts of me too that, you know, like, I grew up really, really conservative, and like, we never talked about sex growing up. So I was like, I want to talk about dirty things, you know, like, explicitly on this record.
Does that feel weird to do? Or does it feel
not
good?
Not anymore. Now it feels, I mean, unless there are children in the audience, in which case, I'm like, not my fault.
I when I play my own stuff and it's like me doing a thing, like, the whole thing is just so dirty and like, when I see a kid out of I'm just like, fuck. Like,
which
this
makes
whole
it worse.
Thing is ruined. You know what I mean? Like, I can't do anything. Here. I like kids, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't want them to be there.
Right, not so when you're...
I don't
want
to expose them to what I'm thinking. It's not...
That's
they're
why
not ready
I've
for
chosen
it.
Not to have children yet. Or at all.
Do you... Really? You've chosen not to?
Well, I've not yet. There's,
how old are you?
29.
Okay. Isn't there a feeling you get pretty soon?
Not for me. I mean, yes, I have friends who get it. I haven't gotten anything like it yet. Like, I see babies and I'm just like, I see dogs and I'm like, I want one.
Dude. Yeah,
I feel like best. We also had this conversation last year.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because I went to ACL a couple weeks ago with one of my best friends, and then his children came, and then they just kind of like hung out with me. Yeah. You know, and then at the end of the day, when they left with their mom, I was like, oh, I think I would like to have a kid. I mean, I'm talking about 3 hours of my life. You know what I mean? And they didn't poop themselves or anything. I didn't have to do anything weird.
Right.
There was one crying scene, but I did so much goofy stuff that it worked out. So yeah, that's a weird feeling though. And then it's terrible though, because I just turned 48 on Friday. And so I think to myself, like, what am I going to have some kid now?
Does he
have
totally
like a super old dad?
No, my ex just had his first, and I believe he's in his early 50s. And my dad was 56 when I was born. I think he was 51 when my brother was born. Yeah. You got time.
Yeah, I'm sure I do.
Janet
so do
Jackson
so
was.
So do you.
Yeah, but I don't know.
What do you mean? Janet Jackson had a kid?
She's pregnant. She's 50.
What?
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Elizabeth Gilbert, the writer, said that having kids is like getting a face tattoo. You should only do it unless you really, really want one. You are stuck with it forever. And that is how I feel about children.
That's great. Let's go back to the writing of this album, because we're gonna go off into some weird world that's just too weird right
just
now.
Just break my mom's heart.
Dude, those are great shoes.
Thanks.
Dude, those are great shoes. That's how I phrase things. That's why I don't have kids. You know what I mean? You have some 4-year-old kid that you walk in here, he's like, dude, those are great shoes. Did you write specifically for this album? Like, were you just writing songs and then you're like, oh, this collection will go to a thing?
I was just writing songs. And then at the end was like, these are my favorites. I put them together. I mean, closer to the end, there was definitely a theme that kept coming up. But it came out of a collection. I think there were like 25 songs or something like that. And the ones that I felt were the strongest, I was ready. I was just like ready to record them and put them out so I could move on too.
Yeah. What do you do all day? You work, right?
I have many hats.
What do you do all day?
what do you do all day? Yeah. You're an artist.
Yeah.
It totally depends. Obviously, right now I'm on the road, and so that is my life. I have many different part-time jobs that I do when I'm in New York.
That seems like the New York way.
Yeah. A lot of us have remote jobs. I do remote work.
Right.
I work as like a virtual assistant.
Oh, that's good.
Sometimes for like different entrepreneurs. And that's hourly pay. And it's sort of as much or as little as I want. And then I do a lot of the music stuff takes up a lot of time. Just like answering emails. It's just like an open void.
And you manage your... No.
I am self-managed.
Okay. Who's the person that sent me the songs?
Fiona. Oh, Fiona. Yeah. I think we've talked about Fiona before. Fiona is my virtual assistant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I have a VA job to pay for my VA. yeah,
that's
she's great. So she's... So, yeah, I delegate a lot of things to her and she takes care of them for me. So I think in many ways she handles the things that a manager would do, like the administrative stuff.
But you make the decisions.
Yes.
You make the call.
I make the call. But sometimes I defer to her and I'm like, Fiona, what do you think I should do?
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. She's worked with me for over 2 years now. And yeah, I value her opinion.
How do you find a virtual? I mean, maybe that's what I need.
She's great. Yeah.
It's not a girlfriend or a wife or mother of my children. Just a virtual assistant to communicate with.
It's like every guy's dream.
Yeah. Hi, it's just me. I woke up. I'm feeling pretty good.
You know what's really funny, actually, now that you mentioned that? So so the guy that I'm dating is also self-employed, and he has a remote assistant who he does a call with every day. They check in. And so I was like, oh, that seems really efficient. You like, you really stay on top of things. So I asked Fiona if we could start doing check-in calls every day at like 11 o'clock. We go over whatever needs to be done for the day. And it's really quick, but I also feel like it's just like a proof of life thing for me. Like I need to know that she needs to check on me.
Right.
I'm still in this. Yes, I am going to answer that email eventually. Thank you for reminding me.
Right.
Because it can get lonely. We close in on our heads a lot.
Yeah. I wanted an assistant, but like, I don't know. I just kind of want someone to hang out with me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like some weird like prostitution.
I think you just need a friend.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to hire a friend. I know some people that need work. So what is your boyfriend? What is his? I mean, are you allowed to talk about it?
Yeah, I am. Okay. He's probably listening to this now.
What's his name? First name only.
His name is Jeremy.
That's a good name.
He's a sign language interpreter.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. Right. It's super cool because it has nothing to do with what we do.
Yeah, but that's just cool. And you're helping people at the same time.
Yeah. What is, so I think by the time this comes out, the election will have passed, but he's interpreting for Obama the day after tomorrow.
Cool. That's awesome.
That's really cool. And he gets to work all over the country, which is really convenient because I'm all over the place.
Wow. That's like a zero fail mission too. You can't mess up when you're interpreting someone's.
No, you can't. And I think it's really subjective. It's based on the person that you're, the deaf consumer that you're working with, because not everything has a literal translation.
Right.
You are interpreting, you know, the combination of words and stuff from what I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's intense. Thanks, Jeremy, for doing that stuff for people. What do you think about this whole crazy election?
Oh, God.
You don't have to state anything except just how do you feel about just this whole thing, the state of it?
I need to like put the New York Times down. I don't know if everybody else is.
All
like,
media needs to be going away for a little while. Just for me, I'm inundated.
Well, I think the compulsion to follow it is really interesting. I mean, clearly it's like, I think it's like some sort of evolutionary impulse because we feel like, at least I feel like that the Trump camp is enacting all of this sort of like doomsday scenario storytelling, which I think is brilliant because it makes you feel like if you don't follow this, you know, like you're going to wake up tomorrow and I don't know, the Capitol's going to be on fire because you didn't read the New York Times piece about what Trump said. You're next.
I know. It's weird.
I think that that's. I don't know. I think that it's like really archaic, and it's kind of disappointing that it's like come down to a lot of angry, mean language. It's been sort of upsetting, and I guess it's brought a lot of really important issues to light. As far as you know, the like. Low-lying, underlying sort of misogyny that exists.
Yeah, I'll say his unwanted advances brought out a lot. I mean, I saw it on social media, like very close friends of mine that it really did sort of like hit a chord with people that were like, hey, that's not cool.
Absolutely.
Like, this has happened to me. It's not cool. Like, I'm in a band with someone. I've known this person since 1988, and Saturday she said, like, yeah, dude, that happened to me in an elevator one time with this guy.
Yep. Yeah, I think, I mean, like, every woman I know, like myself included, like, we've all been groped, we've all had unwanted advances, we've all, I mean, many of us have been assaulted, and so I think what I felt happening among my female friends, and even just on social media, was a lot of people were feeling triggered because, you know, there were a lot of survivors out there who saw this happening and just sort of being brushed over as like the locker room talk, which is like just this bullshit phrase.
Yeah.
And it reminded us of our own, you know, our own situation.
Yeah.
And sort of the downplaying the importance of it. So, yeah.
I saw a thing yesterday on Saturday Night Live, which there was a lot of like, oh, these women are just doing this to get famous and like this is going to get their thing. And one of the jokes in the thing was like, yeah, because everyone's dream is to come out and get famous being like, I'm the seventh person that he groped. Yeah, like that's
right,
the thing
right,
that you're going
right,
for.
Like,
in your
oh,
life.
Wait, number yeah. eight hasn't come out yet. That sounds
that
like a solid number.
That sounds like an
Absolutely.
It takes an incredible amount of courage. And to the point where you're watching someone saying like, no, this is just, that's just shit I say. And then people are like, fuck no, it's not. That is not just stuff you say. I know it like firsthand. It's intense. It's weird. And then like, there's an election. You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, we're voting for somebody.
Right.
And then the creepiest thing is like almost half the country's still voting for this guy where you're like, this is just not. And it's the people that hated one of the last guys because of that behavior as well.
Right.
Which is totally kooky.
Right. Right. Yeah, I am pretty sure based on the numbers he is not gonna win, but it's still, I mean, clearly I'm voting for Hillary. What, but,
yeah, one never knows.
But, well, yeah, you never know. I could totally be eating shit a month from now on that, or God, less than that now, but yeah, it's sort of mind-blowing.
I once had a bacon martini, and it was too much bacon. Did I tell you this last time?
No,
I don't think so. Okay, it was
that.
In Brooklyn.
Of course it was.
Okay, and it was, yeah, it was like a, mm-hmm. But I did it because I love bacon like you do. I'm changing the subject really dramatically.
Great segue.
Yeah, it's like there's no way
misogyny
to get out
bacon.
Of
bacon. You know, but it's, I feel like bacon is like the squirrel thing, you know? You can just squirrel and bacon is
yeah.
fine. Perfectly yeah. Yeah. Justifiable segue.
Well,
that's fine.
I have
there's a bacon thing, that, but it's sort of taken on a life of its own.
So
a couple years ago, I was a vegetarian for a long time on the road. And then I decided to try low carbs or like paleo. And I started eating bacon again and was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I think one day I woke up and I made a joke on Facebook, like roses are red, violets are blue, bacon, 700 likes.
Yeah.
And was like, oh shit. Okay. Well, you know, I need more eyes on my page. I'm just going to keep making these bacon jokes. And I did. And now it's like, I woke up today and I went outside and God, it was a beautiful sunrise. And then somebody will be like, was there bacon? You know, like people are just like waiting
you gotta
insert the bacon jokes.
You got a catchphrase. No,
it's just
bacon.
We did a crowdfunding campaign and one of the rewards on the crowdfunding campaign was bacon soap. And I wish people could just see the scowl on your face right now. So a friend of mine is just like a mad scientist in Boston, and he made bacon soap, and they're like in the shape of little piggy faces, and he used bacon fat, and he also used bacon scented like essential oil that was ironically enough vegan, and so now I have these bacon soap pieces because we have some left over. So I was like, oh great, I'll add them to my merch. They smell so bad.
Oh really?
They're terrible.
Yeah,
I mean,
no one
I'm
wants
not
bacon on
it.
Their body. So I made the right face.
You did, but people think it's funny. So but they're in my merch now, and every time I open my suitcase, I get a headache from my own merch. I don't know what I'm going to do with them.
Need a new merch case. Or Febreze it.
I do have Febreze in the car. I will, after, being on the road with the guys for 2 weeks.
Oh, man, I can imagine. Febreze is probably the best thing that ever happened to, van bands. Ever.
I don't know how you guys, if you're just you're built differently than we are, because you can tolerate BO in ways.
What are you looking at me for? I think I smell pretty nice.
No, you smell fine.
Okay.
But guys and bands.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they say
check
that.
It out. I'm in two bands. One of them's mm-hmm. all women and then me. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is all dudes and one woman. Six dudes, one woman. One poor fucking exhausted woman having to deal with dick jokes all the time.
I remember reading a study. I think it was in what called The Power of Habit. They say that when they were studying, I don't know if it was Febreze or some sort of scented air freshener, that people over time, their sense of smell will build a tolerance to whatever it is they're living in. So it's like how people, have cats and they have a house with cat
litter. And they can't tell.
They can't tell eventually, but you walk in out of it and you're like, what is that? So I think that's what happens to bands. Okay.
Yeah.
They just live in their own filth.
They just live in their own. And vans just, people smell after a while.
Yeah, they do.
You get all sweaty and you get in the van.
Yeah.
And everyone's there. What did you have to rent a van when you were here?
No, I borrowed my mom's car.
Oh, that's nice.
It's very nice.
And you're going back to Laredo today to give her back her car?
I'm going back to wash her car thoroughly.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
Give it back to her. And then I go back to New York on Wednesday.
Okay. What are you going to do when you go back? I mean, I'm sure you're in the throes of getting ready to release this record. And
yeah, that's basically it. I have more shows around the Northeast. And then we do a big New York release show at Joe's Pub on November 23rd. And then a couple more shows after that. And then the record drops December 2nd. So
are you going to go on tour? How much do you tour around the Northeast and then come down here and do it? Two different kinds of...
Yeah, I used to do the cross-country thing back in my early 20s, but now I don't think that makes a lot of sense. It's a lot of time and it's a lot of energy wasted.
Yeah.
So I fly in for shows like what I did with this one. It was just one weekend of shows. We did two separate satellite weekends of shows in Texas. I fly back home. Mm-hmm. So I will do a couple of different shows in markets where I know I have a big enough fan base, and then West Coast we'll do in January. Same thing. Fly in, do, five or six shows, go home.
And what about your boyfriend? Does he get sad when you leave?
It's a long distance relationship to begin with, but yes.
Oh, he's not even there either?
No, he's not in New York.
God.
Yeah, he lives in Miami.
Oh, that's where I'm from.
Really?
Yeah, I graduated from Miami Beach Senior High School.
Oh my God, I did not know that. He is not from there, but he lives there.
Okay.
But that's a 3-hour plane ride from New York. It's pretty convenient.
And so you go down there?
I just went down there for the first time.
Sweet. How'd you like it? Where does he live? What part of town do you know?
South Beach.
Oh yeah. he must be very wealthy. That's an expensive part of town. I used to live on 15th on what is Venetian Causeway, turns into 15th Street.
Okay.
Which is the same street that Beach High is on. But I lived on an island in between Miami Miami Beach.
Okay. Which island?
There's a Venetian Causeway on an island called San Marco Island.
Okay.
1315 North Venetian Way.
He works really hard.
I didn't mean he's rich.
But I mean, good job, Allie.
Yeah, that's an expensive part of town to live in.
Yeah.
I mean, so is this, but...
Right. you are literally on the water too, sir.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's completely different. You know how hard it was? I was just talking to someone the other day about how hard it was. Yeah, Beach High is 4 blocks, no exaggeration, 4 blocks from the beach.
And you graduated.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I don't know if that's what there's probably a curve down there. I went to Austin High.
I think just a curve in Miami in general.
Yeah. Sweet booties everywhere. Oh, dudes, God. Chicks, Latinos.
I didn't mean literally, but that too. Yep.
All right. So so you went to Miami. Did you do any Miami stuff like nightlife?
We did. No, we did not really go out clubbing or anything like that.
Did you go to Joe's Stone Crabs? down at the very end of South Beach?
Nope. Oh. Didn't do that. Man, I'm feeling all right.
Next trip, you need to tell him. Joe's. You can walk there probably from where he is.
We did. We went to Little Havana a couple times. I had enough plantains to like last me a lifetime, and I could probably eat more.
Do you do the tostones or do you do the sweet ones?
I have both. Okay. I have tostones in the car right now.
Nice.
We spent a little bit of time in Little Haiti. I found there's like a kickboxing gym there, that I went to because I do like a lot of like Olympic and powerlifting on my own.
Really?
We're back in Brooklyn. I go to a gym, and this is like, this is how I deal with the music industry, is I just like lift really heavy weights and I throw them on the ground and stuff.
Are you real strong?
Pretty strong.
That's badass.
So I went to this gym, and there was the boot camp classes, you know, for like the stay-at-home moms during the day. And then there was like the kickboxing and the regular boxing classes going on upstairs. And I shit you not, every time I came in, one or two of the instructors would just like stand back and they would sort of watch me like walking up to the rack and picking up the barbell, kind of like, is she going to break herself?
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, inevitably, some old man would walk up to me and be like, you do a really good job. Like, they'd never seen a woman, like, lifting weights before.
Yeah.
It was a real cultural experience.
Yeah. Was it Latin dudes? I get ashamed of my people sometimes at that shit, man. It's so embarrassing.
It's all right. I grew up in Laredo. I grew up with, the machismo culture.
Yeah.
And so I think I identified more with being masculine than what was considered feminine.
So wait, do you kickbox and stuff?
No.
Do you do MMA?
No, I do not do MMA.
Are you a cage fighter?
I like my teeth way too much for that. No, I do CrossFit back in the
That's
city.
Cool. I was thinking about joining like a boxing gym. I was thinking like, you know, now that I'm getting a little older, maybe I need something more than just like, I'm going to walk around the lake.
I think I totally support that sort of, any sort of physical activity that you can get involved in that you suck at first, and you can get, you know, like incrementally better at over a long period of time. I think it's really great for self-esteem, obviously your physical health. For me, it's like a mental health thing too.
I think also doing those kind of like what would be like violent activities do get a lot of stress out.
Yes. No, mine are just mostly like, it's just the violence is really just
towards yourself,
towards myself. Yes. Yes. I will do 50 burpees now.
I think that would be fun to do. And I bet it would make me feel great all the time.
I highly recommend trying it.
And plus maybe people would start being scared of me.
Yeah. I don't know if that's what I'm going for.
Okay. Well, I've gone through being a little guy for a long time and I figured like at some point, like, people
now.
Go, don't fuck with him, man. Here comes Johnny. No one's ever said that about me before. And I'd like to hear that when I'm walking down the street. So let's talk about the Dripping Springs Songwriting Festival, Songwriter okay. Festival. What exactly, what is it? Is it like a South by Southwest what's Folk Alliance or something like that? Is there, or is it just showcases?
I would say it is like what I imagine South By was in its very, very early years, in that it's all independent musicians. There were about 40 songwriters that showcased during the day. It was probably, I think, five or six venues in Dripping Springs, all on Mercer Street, which is three block radius.
Yeah.
And we just did in the round, so it was usually four songwriters. You know, everybody played the guitar. And they would play for an hour, 15 minutes. Everybody got about four songs. Over the span of the weekend, I think I did six or seven showcases.
Wow.
And the crowds were great. I mean, everything was free, so people came freely. They bought a lot of merch. They listened very intently. And so it's a great place to go and pick up new fans. And Dripping Springs is beautiful. And it's quiet.
It is. Was there like hotel accommodations, or was there one hotel where everyone stayed? Y'all stayed up all night drinking tequila.
Like,
and
like songwriter
songs.
Summer
yeah,
camp.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They put us up in bed and breakfast. So it was a little like camp, but just fancy camp. Yeah.
How do you like bed and breakfast?
I love them.
You do?
Well, where we stayed this weekend, the owners weren't there, so I didn't have to, like, play waitress or anything. Not, like, a waitress, but I call it, like, going into waitress mode, where you're, like, really charming, you know, as opposed to just, like, rolling out of bed looking like shit and drinking coffee.
That's why,
which
I
is
like
what
hotels.
I want to do.
Yeah, that's what I feel weird. There's too much interaction. In the bed and breakfast I've been in, it's been like, I don't want to have to sit down and talk to you about this stuff right now. I came here so that I wouldn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've only stayed in a couple, but I really like, I was like, this is, you know, then you're in someone's house and you're scared to, you know what I mean?
Really? I like,
break things.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night, you might not be able to go back to sleep. You don't want to wake up the people there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it.
You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. Well, yes, absolutely. Because I go on the road, and the longer that I'm doing it, the more and more likely I am to pay for a hotel as opposed to staying with friends. Not because I don't like staying with friends, but because I just don't want to deal with people. And you, especially like for what, you know, for what you and I do, if you're on stage, you're performing, you know, you get there, you're nice to the sound guy, you're nice to the bar staff, you're nice to everybody, regardless of what is going on with you on the inside. And then you're nice to everybody there, and you're gracious, and you're grateful, and that's great. And then you get home, and I want to fucking stare at a wall, and I don't want to be nice to anybody. Yeah. I want to watch Law & Order SVU and eat, you know, something that's terrible for me.
Bacon. I did that for your fans. I said your catchphrase.
Well done, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm the same way. I just, there was something else I was going to say about this, the Dripping Springs Songwriter Festival. So who all did you see? Did you see anyone you've never seen before that was great? Did people come from all over the land, or was it mostly Texas?
There were people from all over the U.S. A couple of Nashville folks, a few people from Alabama. There was, I don't remember anybody's name.
My friend Chris Taylor, I think, played
there. Oh, Chris is wonderful. Yeah, I know. I know Chris from back when we were both playing in San Antonio when I first got started.
Yeah.
He is a nice guy. And I don't know if you know his wife.
Oh, dude. Yeah. That's how I know him.
Kat. She's just like a goddess. She's one of those women who walks into a room and I just like stare at her.
That's a great way to explain it. She has a magnetism.
She does.
So does he. They're like a beautiful couple.
And they're nice. And like not
they're
in a
so nice.
Not in a fakeish, you know, way.
I think I know her from when I was in this band Mr. Rocket Baby in like 1993. That's when I know, cuz that I remember seeing her after not seeing her for a long time, be like, "Oh my god, so great." And then that's how I met him, and then his art, he did that. He did that one of me. He did that one.
So Johnny is pointing to paintings around
Dean
his
Martin
apartment.
One. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, listeners. No, there's a lot of Chris Taylor in my house.
Oh, wow, that's crazy. Yeah. That's right. I heard someone told me that Tom was telling me he was a great artist, too.
Great artist.
Yeah, I was thinking, I guess to explain to everyone at home, Chris is this songwriter in San Antonio, and his wife, Kat, is just this gorgeous woman. And there's this
gorgeous.
And it's not even just about like her physical looks. It's the way she dresses and carries herself. She has a very unique style. And she like where, you know, I think she was like wearing this like Indian skirt and like a long golden necklace.
Yeah.
And I just like, I really appreciate when a woman, you know, like takes pride in her appearance in that way. Not in the sense that like you have to wear platform heels to the grocery store, but she's comfortable in her own skin.
Yeah.
And I think that when you do that, you also bring joy to the people that are around you. You know, I think that you exude that energy. She clearly does because you picked up on it too.
Oh yeah. I always have. I've always thought she's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he's amazing. Beautiful person. They're both just, that's a nice couple.
Yeah.
I think they have kids too.
Yes, they have children. I'm always impressed by that.
Yeah.
Normal.
Well, she was there this weekend too?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
So there isn't like a late night everybody hangs out?
There is. I think there were a couple of really, really late night jams. I don't really go to those anymore.
Do you not drink?
I still don't drink.
Okay.
I'm going on, it'll be 4 years in May.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the thing is like I had 3 showcases. And maybe like 5 years ago while I was still drinking, I totally would have gone to the late night thing after playing all day because I think drinking would have sustained me through.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But now that I don't, there's like, I don't have that.
That weird.
It's not even like being around the alcohol. It's just I'm tired.
Yeah.
And I think I realized after quitting drinking that I am a lot more of an introvert I realized before. And the alcohol just helped me, like, deal with people and like, just sort of suppress how exhausted I was.
Because,
you know, vodka and Red Bull is magical. it's a magical combination. So by the time I was done playing the three showcases and talking to people and selling CDs, I was ready to rest. I was ready to go home and just chill out and take care of myself. I think, like, the longer I have not been drinking, the more self-care has become really important to
me. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your skin looks good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That helps. The not drinking helps that too.
I bet it does. I noticed that my face is breaking out. And I think it's because when I started feeling good whenever I was sick, I'd go have drinks. I mean, not like insane amounts of drinks.
Yeah.
But a few. Enough to feel bad. enough to feel bad about myself and the others around me. So Hungry Ghost comes out December 2nd. Mm-hmm. So this is probably not going to come out for a long time. Okay. We're in the middle of, I mean, is that's what you want. Don't you want it to come out near the release of the
album? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This is the part where I discuss the publicity strategy with my with my guest. Are you doing a publicist or anything for this?
I'm doing a publicist. So by the time this comes out, we will have released the first single, which is a song called Rivers.
Okay.
And the first video will be out sometime before the release, the first music video.
Have you already shot the video?
Yep, we shot the video.
Did someone cool do it? Or someone we know?
No, it was done up in New York.
Okay.
My buddy DT Sheridan, who is a wonderful director, he directed it. I did it with, we just put together a crew. We shot it at this 1920s Victorian, not Victorian, that's 1920s Victorian. I meant, what's the word? It's another one that starts with a V. Vaudevillian type theater in Rahway, New Jersey, the Union County Performing Arts Center. I got to play there last year, opening for Louise Goffin. And fell in love with the theater. And then I realized I had this song on the piano and I wanted to shoot it in a big, beautiful theater. Everything in New York is expensive as shit. So we looked at New Jersey and the theater was really affordable and super gracious. So
what theater?
Union County, UCPAC, Union County Performing Arts Center.
Not the one in Asbury Park, right?
No, Rahway, New Jersey.
Okay, because that picture was taken at that theater that's in the Asbury Park, like that you're talking about. Yeah, in the back.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I commissioned a choreographer, and she worked out a piece with two dancers to the song. The song is called This Is How You Lose Her, and it's totally a ripoff of... a book by the name of an author by the name of Juno Diaz by the same name, which is a really great collection of short stories and super heartbreaking. We shot it over one day and it's going to come out. It's my first song on the piano. I got a really great dress for the video.
Nice. Did you get a piano? Do you have a piano in your place?
I have a keyboard in my apartment. I would love a piano. Piano it's, and a dog. Yeah. That's the dream.
Oh, yeah. The dog's at your feet. You're playing the piano.
Coffee.
Yeah, coffee. Yeah. Bacon. Ding, ding, ding. We need like a special little song that plays when I was
anytime the word bacon. If I were still drinking, the bacon thing could definitely be a drinking game.
Bacon. Sorry. And that's bacon. I just killed your ears. Sorry, listeners. Is there anything I'm missing? Hungry Ghost comes out December 2nd. Go to AllieTadros.com to find out if she's coming to a town near you with her release and everything. And people can pre-order the album and they'll get an acoustic version of a song. I saw something like that.
Yep, they can pre-order the album. Okay. By the time this comes out, they can pre-order it online. They'll get the first single and for free, I believe, or just with the pre-order. You can also check out the singles on Spotify. The record will be on Spotify too around the release.
Okay. Well, that's exciting. Are you okay with Spotify and everything? You want people to buy the vinyl if they have it?
Absolutely.
And people can get that through AllieTadros.com.
They can go to my website, get the vinyl, they can get the CD. And, you know, if they just want to listen online, they can totally do Spotify too.
Yeah. Do you plan on making another trip down south?
Absolutely. Probably not until 2017.
Okay.
But I'll be back.
Any South by Southwest plans?
No.
Okay. God, that was like, no. No. Like for real. So people don't get together and write songs like in the afternoons at this songwriter festival?
They do. They do. Tom did. I was a little. Yeah, Tom. There's a wonderful
Tom.
Wonderful.
Tom's too prolific.
Well, Tom's in the weekly songwriting group.
Oh.
Which I think we both have flunked out of.
I got kicked out of it.
You got kicked. We both got kicked
we both
out kicked, of it.
We were yeah. in the same one.
Yes, we were. Yeah. I think I lasted a little bit longer than you did. I probably just made that up in my head. I want to believe that.
It's all the weights you're lifting, the strength you have.
Willpower. It builds willpower, I'm telling you. We were in a weekly songwriting group. Every week we got a phrase. We had to turn in a song. And then if you did not, you were kicked out of the group. And I think we each at some point.
But, you know, don't you find those songwriting groups to be really important? You know, do you know Glenn Phillips from Toad the Wet Sprocket?
Yeah.
He was just on the show. And he was telling me that it got him his groove back.
Oh, totally. Two of the songs on the record came out of that songwriting group. And I've absolutely come out of like really, really long phases of what I thought was writer's block because of those groups.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Seth Godin, the entrepreneur blogger, says that writer's block is not a real thing. You don't, you know, if you have something to talk about, you have something to write about. You don't wake up in the morning and say, I have talker's block. But I think...
No, I'm joking.
Clearly, that is not an issue, sir. but I think the issue is just, you know, getting out of our own head and having a hard deadline.
Yeah, that really does have a little accountability.
Yes, accountability is huge.
And not being scared to let Ali Tadros hear some horrible song you wrote.
Yeah, and because, you know what, 99% of the time, I'm not even going to listen to it. So we all think that's an issue, but nobody cares. Nobody really cares.
I have been in a songwriting group with like some people where you're like, ooh, that guy's song? And you go and you listen to it, and then just as bad as yours.
Yep.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
It's like a really, you're like, all right, that's cool.
Yeah. What did Pat Pattison says that he's the song one of the songwriting professors at Berkeley. He says that crap is the best fertilizer.
It is. Yeah.
And I think we all wrote a ton of crap in that group.
Good.
And some of it turned into good songs.
Yeah, there was one I actually played. One song I wrote out in that group, I went on playing. Yeah. That's not bad, averages. All right, everyone get out there to AliTadros.com. Hungry Ghost is the new album, full length, including a very nice message from your dad. What's is your dad's alive, right?
No.
No. Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay.
I'm glad that you have the same reaction when people say that. Like, your mom died, I start laughing too.
Right, yeah.
Did that happen last time we talked about it?
It was about 2 years ago.
Okay.
We may have
okay,
talked
so
about
we
it.
Might have. All right.
That's okay.
Well, that's sweet to have that message. That's a pretty, that's a touching thing to have on there.
You know what's really...
I couldn't understand it very well. I'm not going to lie.
Well, what's funny about that is, so my dad is Arab. He has a very thick Egyptian accent. More than one person who's heard the record has said, like, that was a really sweet message. And that was actually not the intention at all. He was really sick in the hospital when he left that message. And he was calling me to try and talk to me. And I was on the road and I was too busy to pick up his calls. He was also, like, by that point, dementia had kicked in pretty hard. So it was like this, like, ah, shit, I kind of fucked up sort of thing. So I put it on there because it's
to remind you,
to remind myself Jesus, to not be a shitty daughter. Fucking... No. It's just sort of like meshed in with the theme of, you know, the constant moving and sort of looking at priorities. And yeah, a lot of the record was that.
Did you change them after that?
The priorities?
Uh-huh.
Yes, absolutely. I think I got sober shortly after that.
Wow. And so what do you stay in touch with your mom now? She doing all right?
Yeah, mom's doing good. Mom had a bit, she had a bit of a scare, I think, after my dad passed. It was a lot for her. She was diagnosed with ovarian cancer and went through that for like 2 years. And she's healthy now. As we speak, she's on a cruise through the Caribbean.
Oh, that's nice.
She's just cruising, like literally and figuratively. And so she's good. And yes, we stay in touch.
And so are you gonna go to her house and clean her car and everything and then just leave it and then fly back?
Yeah.
What are you going to do when you get to Laredo? Hang out with some friends? Eat more tacos?
I'm just going to eat tacos. Eat tacos and check my email.
Dude, I like talking to you. You know who is a huge fan of yours and is a good friend of mine? Alex Vallejo.
Oh, he's such
always,
a sweet
always says the
guy.
Nicest things about you. And sometimes people will be talking about somebody else and he'll bring you up as an example of something.
Aw, yeah. Man, I got to reach out to him. Yeah, he's a great guy.
He's a great guy.
Done a lot for the music community here.
Yeah. It was his niece and nephew that I was with at ACL. I was with his brother.
Cool.
Yeah, those are the kids that made me want to have kids. Hungry Ghost is the album. December 2nd, it comes out. Ali Tadros, go to alitadros.com. You're sweet and wonderful, and your new album is absolutely beautiful. Did I even tell you that?
You did.
Okay,
you did.
Yeah. Yeah, you
that.
Did a really
Thank
good
you.
Job.
Thanks.
Yeah, yeah, congratulations.
Thanks, it sounds funny. 2 a.m. in a smoking
bar, singing songs, and anyone listen to me. Ali Tadros, always great to sit down and talk to her. She's a fantastically talented person and a lovely person to talk to. Her new album, Hungry Ghost, comes out Friday, December 2nd. Go to alitadros.com to find out if she's coming to a town near you and how to get the album. I suggest you get the vinyl. I've been spinning it since she gave it to me back in October, and we had this conversation. Man, I love this album. I really do. She did a great job. Great job, Ali. Get out there, alitadros.com. Hungry Ghost is the album. Comes out Friday, December 2nd. Get it. All right, hey, while you're out there checking out the Ali Tadros stuff online, don't forget you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Or if you don't want to fill up your phone and its memory with a bunch of podcasts and hijimihu, you can stream your podcast. You know, you stream your movies, stream your music. Why not stream your podcast? You can use Stitcher. Fabulous app. Stitcher is an app that allows you to stream over 30,000 shows, including How Did I Get Here? Right to your smartphone or pad. Get the best in news, comedy, entertainment, science, and sports. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Find it in your app store. All right, let's hear another song from Ali Tadros' gorgeous album, Hungry Ghosts, available December 2nd. Go to alitadros.com. All right? Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day, whatever it is that you're doing. High five to you. Give me a high five in the air. Ready? 1, 2, 3. High five. Let's hear some more music from Ali Tadros. Have a great day. Let's get down.
Some mischief, I'm gonna bet you got a real dirty mind.